to invite you to turn with me to John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. John chapter 10. And I'll refer to it possibly in the New King James, but I want to actually read it to you out of the Amplified Bible. It's not a whole lot of difference, but it does bring it out just a little bit. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking to us. And he says, I am the door, verse 9, I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved. They will live. He will come in and he will go out freely and will find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. Hallelujah. You know, in these few verses here, these three verses, the Lord distinguishes between him and what his purpose is and what the purpose of the devil is. Amen? Notice that the Lord Jesus says he comes that we might have an abundant life, but he says the devil, who is a thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, we begin to see some things here that you need to get a hold of if you're going to walk in victory. Number one, Jesus said, I am the door. He's the only door. You can't get into life. You can't have your life changed unless you go through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way. Amen? And here he says, I am the door. And then he says, anyone who enters in through me. Notice that, anyone. Thank God that goes right along with what Paul said to the Romans, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Aren't you glad you can be an anyone or a whosoever? Amen? So the Lord is saying this door is open to anyone. Anyone who wants to change your life. Anyone who wants to see something new. Anyone who wants to come out of sin and bondage. I'm an open door, praise God. I'm the way that you come out of that. You don't come out of it through religion. You don't come out of it that's just through joining a church. You don't come out of it just by trying to mend and change your ways. No, you come out of your previous old life through coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the door. And if anyone enters in, knows you can't enter in except through him. That goes right along with what he told Nicodemus over in John chapter 3. And you know, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a religious person. He was educated in the Bible, the Pentateuch. He was educated in the ways of worship. He was educated in you know, all these different things, but he still didn't know the Lord, didn't know life, and knew he had a void in his life. And so the Lord Jesus told him, he said, except you get born again. In other words, unless something happens on the inside of you, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can know about it. You can hear about it. You can talk about it, but you can't enter into it. Amen? A lot of people know about God. A lot of people know about church. A lot of people know about the Word, but a lot of people don't know God. Hallelujah. And there's a difference in being able to see God and knowing about God. Amen? Hallelujah. And so the Lord said, you're going to have to enter in through the new birth, through a spiritual experience. And here Jesus says, you have to enter in through him. And notice he says, when you enter in through him, you will be saved. In other words, you will be born again. You experience life. Life comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so we enter in by giving him our life, by calling upon his name, by surrendering to him and going through his door. Amen? Notice he said, I'm the door. In other words, you got to come my way. You can't come with your own preconceived conditions. You have to just come through the door. If you're going to go through a door, you can't tell the door how to open or whatever. It's going to open the way it was designed. Amen? And you have to walk through it the way it was designed for you to walk through it. And so, therefore, the Lord is saying, you have to come through me the way I've designed it, and you have to come my way because I'm the door, I'm the entrance. You have to come in through my invitation. And when you come in through my way, then you're going to be saved, and you're going to experience life coming into you. Then he says this, and then he will come in and he will go out freely and will find pasture. In other words, the Lord's saying, and this good new life that I'm giving you, this salvation I'm giving you, doesn't stop just because you came through the door once. Amen. He said, now I'm going to not only be your Savior, I'm going to be your provider. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you access to come in and out freely and partake of all the things I have for you. Hallelujah. Amen? Isn't it a shame a lot of people go through that door one time and stop going through it? Amen. Just don't go through the door once. I mean, you know, there's healing on the other side of that door. There's deliverance on the other side of that door. There's peace on the other side of that door. And you know what? He's saying you can come in and go out. What's that mean? We don't always live in heaven and in a heavenly realm, do we? Anybody here ever had to work with, you know, an ungodly situation going on around you? Well, you know, if anybody had to deal with life's pressures and problems, that's coming out. But Jesus says, when you get all worn out, I'm still the door. Come on back in and I'll refresh you. Hallelujah. I'll be there for you. And then notice that his purpose for coming here in verse 10 is that we may have life and enjoy life. Hallelujah. Christians, you ought to be enjoying life. Amen. You ought to be having a good time. And then he says, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. In other words, I ought to be experiencing all the goodness that God has for me. Amen. The Bible says he is withholding no good thing from them that will walk uprightly before him. Praise God. So therefore, God is saying, I've come and sent my son. And Jesus says, I'm the entrance. I'm the way into everything. And you can get saved through coming through me. And then you can come in when you're worn out. You can come in freely. And I'll be there to bless you and help you. Praise God. And I'll help you to enjoy life. I'll help you to have victory in times of defeat. I'll help you to be strong in times of weakness. I'll help you to be, you know, confident in times of insecurity. Come on, church. And then he goes in the next verse and says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Meaning what? I'm going to be with you from the time you become my sheep until you come home to be with me. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be there laying my life down for you every day. He's a good shepherd. What's he saying? Jesus, identifying himself as a good shepherd, is telling you, you can always count on me. I'll always be there. You'll never have to fight a battle by yourself. I'll always be there to run the wolves off. I'll always be there to help you to get through. And when you fall in a thicket, I'll dig you out. Whenever you get in water over your head, I'll pull you out. If you fall into a pit and can't get back up, I'll reach down and pull you out. I'm the good shepherd. If I have to leave the 99 and come find you because you strayed off, I'll put them in a good fence. I'll come and get you and bring you right back in. I will not leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll always be there for you. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord Jesus has come to do. But in the midst of him being our good shepherd, the Lord alerts us that you have an enemy out there. And that enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy this life that Jesus is wanting you to have. Are you listening to me? He's coming to stop you from enjoying life and having it abundantly. He's coming to do certain things in your life to stop you from walking in victory. Notice here that the Lord said the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me was getting the revelation that it was not God that was doing bad things to me. Hallelujah. See, I thought if I was sick, God was teaching me something. I thought, you know, being poor was a mark of humility and being humble. I thought, you know, struggling in life, that's just the way it was. And you know, if you got a prayer answered every now and then or even once or twice a lifetime, that you was in with God. Hallelujah. But then I got the revelation that, no, Jesus came that I could have life and have it abundantly. And he came to give his life so I could enter in through him into a new life. Then I could lay down my old life and walk in a new life, praise God. And then I realized that even though Jesus came to give me this new life, in this world there is a devil. And the devil is a thief. And that devil is out to stop me from having what Jesus Christ purchased for me. Amen? See, folks, you got to get a hold of something here. Things in the spiritual realm are a lot like the things in the natural realm. Just because the supermarket has just been stocked and has all your favorite food in it doesn't mean you can have it. You still have to go get it. Amen? Are you listening to me? Well, you know, and you let's take it a little step farther. We can come by your house, stock your refrigerator, and fill up your cabinets with all your favorite food, and you can still starve to death. Because if you don't participate and get involved and eat it, it won't do you any good. Amen? Spiritual things are the same way. God has provided everything we need to live an abundant life and live in victory. But you and I have to use our faith to obtain it and receive it. In other words, if anyone enters in, you have to still enter into these things. Amen? To enter in means there's effort on your part. Amen? In other words, the Lord is not going to open the door and then come out and carry you across the threshold. You have to get up and walk through that door by faith, trusting that the Lord is who He says He is and will do for you what He said He would do. Same thing after you get saved. You still have to use your faith to go back through that door and get the provision that God said you can have. But in doing that, in walking in your faith, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5 that there is a devil, and he is a roaring lion, roaming about as a roaring lion, and he's out as your adversary, and he's out to destroy you, he's out to steal from you, he's out to kill from you, he's out to stop you from having the life that Jesus Christ purchased for you on Calvary's cross. Amen? But Jesus says, even though there is a thief that's out to kill, steal, and destroy and hinder you from moving into that which I have for you, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd knows how to beat the wolves off. The good shepherd knows how to protect you and get you through these things. Amen? So the Lord is saying, you have to make a choice. Are you going to trust me and walk with me and believe that I'm your good shepherd and use your faith and stand against the thief when he tries to steal, kill, and destroy? Or are you going to go ahead and side in with the thief and choose to let him steal, kill, and destroy and hold you in bondage and then get upset and even blame God or the church or somebody else? Whoa. See, I set you up, didn't I? I'm preaching right along, and all of a sudden I put you in a place where you go, ooh, I've got to make a choice. I have to choose. There's something I have to choose here. What am I having to choose? I'm having to choose. Am I going to live my life trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, or am I going to live my life letting the devil beat me up, steal from me, and be mad all the time? Because Satan's going to try you. He's going to come to try you. Now, there are three areas that we're going to talk about here. Number one, notice he says that the thief comes only but in order to steal. Notice that the very first thing that the devil's going to come to do is steal. Well, what's he going to try to steal? Well, the first thing the devil's going to try to steal is your identity. Satan's an identity thief. What do you mean he's going to try to steal my identity? Well, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 14, the Bible says that we're to give thanks to the Father who has delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us over into the kingdom of the Son of God, made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm no longer under the authority of Satan and darkness. I've been delivered from that, and I've been brought over into the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we could quote it, but take a moment and look at it, praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we begin to see our identity in Christ. In verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us a ministry of reconciliation. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now that's your new identity, praise God. Amen. That's who you're identifying with. That's who you should be seeing yourself with. You see, I looked up the word identity in a dictionary that I had at home, and it says the state or fact of being a specific person or thing. Being as described. That's identity. I'll say it to you again. Identity is the state or fact of being a specific person or thing. In other words, I identify with this. This is my identity. This is who I am. I'm going to identify with how I'm being described. Amen? Now, why is it so important that we find our identity in Christ? Because in Christ, I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. In Christ, I've been reconciled to God. I'm back in harmony with God. I'm not an outcast anymore. In Christ, I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. In Christ, I'm an overcomer in this life. In Christ, I have the greater one living on the inside of me. And in Christ, my sins were placed upon Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is no more condemnation in my life. I don't live a condemned life, a defeated life. To life because I've been made righteous and I am in right standing with God Almighty. Amen? Amen? And as a new creation, I am to identify with that. Now, I want to tell you what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to come and steal that identity and get you to go back to your old identity and see yourself how you were before Christ. I looked up the word identity crisis, the state of being uncertain about oneself. That's identity crisis. There are a lot of Christians today not walking in victory because they have an identity crisis. They're uncertain about the way they see themselves. That's powerful, isn't it? Because you come to church, you go, hallelujah, I'm more than a conqueror. And then you go out in the world and something happens. You go, oh, I'm just a loser. I'm just a loser. I'm just, and you know, and you have an identity crisis. Because you haven't locked in on who you are in Christ. Well, you know, we read. What do you mean being a new creation in Christ Jesus? Well, look in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Look what the Apostle Paul says over here, beginning in verse 9. Paul writes here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Notice that he says the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And he says you need to know that. If you're living in an unrighteous, in other words, if you're not in right standing with God, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Unrighteousness means a lack of righteousness, a lack of right standing. It means that you have not made Jesus Lord. It means you have not entered in through the door. Now notice what he talks about then. He says, do not be deceived. See, a lot of people are being deceived today by false teachings in the church. They're teaching if you live under grace, you can live any way you want to. God understands and it's okay. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. The Bible says without holiness, you'll never see God. And holiness is not living like you lived before you made Jesus Lord of your life. The reason you came through that door is because you want to leave everything else out. Amen? Notice what he says here. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's not an exhaustive list. I mean, that's just a small measure. He's talking about past lives and past lifestyles. Before you entered through the door, before you made Jesus Lord, this is how you identified yourself. This is your identity. This is who you were. But he says in 2 Corinthians 5, if any person is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things passed away. That means these old things are passed away. That means they're dead. You don't believe it? Look what his next word says in verse 11. And such were, everybody say were. Not is, were. And such were some of you. In other words, this is what you used to be. Not what you are, but what you used to be. And notice what he says. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified by the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. What's he saying? That's not who you are anymore. You were washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm not a recovering alcoholic. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not a recovering addict. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not some player out in the world. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not an outcast. I'm a part of the inner works of God because I came through the door. I got washed in the blood and I have a new identity. Hallelujah. See, you have to see yourself as this new creation in Christ Jesus. If you don't see yourself as this new creation in Christ Jesus, you can't walk in the victory. That's why the devil's trying to steal your identity and get you back to what you were before Jesus came into your life. James chapter 1, James says this. He says, if you hear the word and just walk away from it, you deceive yourself. But if you take that word and begin to apply it in your life, you begin to be blessed. Hallelujah. And he says, the word of God is like a mirror. And when you step up in this Bible, you start seeing the new you. Glory to God. And he says, when you look in this mirror and you stay in this mirror and you put that word down in your heart, you begin to see yourself the way God sees you and you'll be blessed in your deed. Are you listening to me? Well, you know what the devil is? He's a word thief. Mark chapter 4, Jesus said the sower sows the word. In verse 15 of that chapter, he said, and the devil comes to steal the word immediately out of your heart. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to see yourself with this new identity. He wants you to see yourself as a loser, as somebody that can't make it. He wants you to see yourself as some defeated somebody, somebody that can't kick the habit. But blessed be God, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and such were some of you. Next time the devil comes up and points and tries to paint a picture of who you were, just take him over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and show him verse 11 and say, that's who I were, but this is who I is. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody said, it's not good English. I'm not teaching English this morning. Hallelujah. teaching gospel truth. I'm teaching life. I'm showing you that God has a plan for you. And you don't have to fight this identity crisis by yourself. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he's right there standing with you, helping you to fend off the devil from stealing who you are in him. You stay in the Word, praise God. And he sent the Holy Spirit. Remember Romans 8, 14? He said, as men as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children or sons of God. And then he goes on and says, and if sons of God, then glory to God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost comes in and says, no, here's who you are now. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're a child of God. You're an overcomer in this life. No, that's not who you are. That's who you were. But it's under the blood of the Lamb. Now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you begin to speak that out. Hallelujah. See, folks, here's the thing. If all you've done is worn jeans and a t-shirt all your life, and somebody comes in and buys you a brand new suit and brand new shoes and brand new socks and everything and puts a brand new shirt and a tie on you, when you put that on, at first you're like, you're as stiff as a board. Oh, my God, this ain't me. But you know what? You start looking in the mirror and you go, not bad. And somebody comes up and says, man, you're looking good in that suit. And you go, that's right. Then here comes some old friend says, yeah, but you're just still a blue jeans guy. Look at me. Do I look like a blue jeans guy? Come on, folks. You're saying that a little arrogant? No, that's a little confident, praise God. Because I put off the old man. I put on the new, and I like the way it fits. I like the way it looks. And you know what? I'm not going to let you take it from me, praise God. I'm not going to let the enemy come in and steal who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. The second thing the devil, he said the devil does, he's out to kill. Notice that? What's Satan out to kill? He's out to kill your dreams. Satan is out to kill your dreams. Proverbs 29:18 says that where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. You know what your dreams are? Your dreams are your vision. It's your revelation. It's the plan. It's something God put in your heart. You know how you get a dream from God? Psalm 37 says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, when you come through that door and you begin to identify with Jesus Christ, he changes your dreams. He did mine. He changed my dreams for my life. He changed my vision for my life. He changed my plans for my life. And he gave me a new dream, praise God. And you know what? If you'll spend time with the Lord, he'll give you a dream for your life. He'll give you something to accomplish in your life, something that is real to you, something precious to you, something that he wants to accomplish in your life, praise God. And everybody has different types of dreams. We're all different Christians, amen? But we've all been saved by the same blood, washed by the same washing of the water of the Word, received the same grace. But you know, how many of you know that God has different dreams for us? Amen? See, even in writing to 1 Corinthians, he said the body of Christ isn't just one member. It's a lot of members, hallelujah. You know, an eye has a different dream than an ear. An eye does not have a dream at all about hearing anything. An eye just wants to see. The hand does not care about shoes other than helping the feet put them on. Amen? And you see, God gives you a dream, and he puts that dream in your heart. But you know what the devil does? The devil comes along, and he tries to steal your identity, first of all, because if he can steal your identity, he now can kill your dream. And he can stop you from having what God said you can have. You know, a great example of dreams and not letting the devil steal and kill your dreams is Joseph in the Old Testament. We won't take time to read because there's too many chapters. But you know, you start in the 37th chapter of Genesis. And Joseph was 17 years old. And God gave him a dream. He saw all these different things and they would bow. And they saw him. And he saw God saying, I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to do great things in your life. A 17-year-old. And like all 17-year-olds, he couldn't hold it to himself. He went and told his brothers and they got mad at him. And then God increased his dream, and he saw the moon, the sun, and everything. And then he told his daddy, and his daddy got mad at him. And he's 17 years old. and he's got a dream, and he knows he's heard from God. But you know something? There's going to be a lot of obstacles going to come to pass before that dream ever gets a chance to come to pass. The enemy's going to come in and do everything he can to kill your dream and keep it from happening in your life. The very first thing you're going to have to do is, if you're going to walk and fulfill your dream, is this: don't let non-dreamers kill your dream. Don't let non-dreamers kill your dream. They're, you know, Joseph's brothers had no dream at all. They just were existing. And they were mad because he had a dream. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians, he says that bad company corrupts good habits and manners. He says you need to be careful who you run with. Don't run with non-dreamers. Non-dreamers are just hanging on, holding out, have no purpose. Get with other dreamers. Hallelujah. So don't let non-dreamers kill your dream. Number two, don't let betrayal kill your dreams. Joseph got betrayed by his brothers, thrown in a pit. Reuben saved his life, and then they decide to sell him into slavery. As you're serving God, there'll be people that you thought you could count on, and they'll do you wrong. You can't let them kill your dreams. You can't let those that are going to betray you and come against you kill your dreams. God gave you the dream. God's one's going to make it come to pass. Amen? Come on, church. Second thing is this. You can't let your environment or surroundings kill your dream. What do you mean? God speaks to you, and a lot of times when he speaks you your dream, you're in the worst situation you could be. Joseph has a dream, and he's now in Potiphar's house. Later on, he finds himself in a jail. But he refused to let his surroundings and his environment kill his dream. Amen. In Potiphar's house, he was offered sex and sin. Do you know the devil will come and send people across your path to try to get you in sin so he can kill your dream? Potiphar's wife offered Joseph another dream. Come get in sin with me. Betray the guy that's given you this. And you know what? Joseph decided, I'm not going to let sin kill my dream. And you know what happens? She goes and does all this stuff and still gets him put in prison. And so Joseph, here he is in prison. He had a dream. God spoke to him when he was younger. But everything in his life looks like that dream's never going to come to pass. But you get over there in the early part of the 40th chapter and 41st chapter and right on down the line. And all of a sudden you'll find this. Joseph is now 30 years old. Had a dream when he was 17. He's 30 and he's in jail. He's 30 and he's been betrayed. He's 30 and he's had people try to get him in sin. He's 30 and he's had a rough time. But you know what Joseph has done from the time all these things started hitting him? He kept his eyes on his good shepherd. And you know what? Joseph served the Lord in Potiphar's house and God blessed him. Joseph served the Lord in the prison and God blessed him. Joseph kept himself from getting bitter in all these situations. Joseph kept himself from letting that dream get away from him in all those visions and all those situations. Folks, I want to tell you what, the devil is a thief and he's coming to kill your dream, and he'll use people to betray you. He'll use bad situations. He'll move and look like you're going the opposite direction of what the dream was. And it's all to discourage you and to get you to quit. Why? Because if you don't quit, he can't win. Hebrews 10 says that we cannot cast away our confidence. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, for as great recompense of reward, that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In other words, there comes a time where you just have to stay faithful. It doesn't look like my dream, but you know what? I'm going to serve God and do what I'm supposed to do right in the midst of this struggle. I'm going to be godly where anybody else around me is. I came through the door. Jesus is my Lord. And devil, you're not going to get my dream. And Joseph is 30 years old, and finally, one of the guys that he sent back to the Pharaoh says, wait a minute, I was in jail, and this guy over there knows how to interpret dreams, because Pharaoh had a dream. And he brings Joseph in, and they clean him up, and he sets him before him. And you know what Joseph tells the guy? He says, listen, I can't do anything, but the God in whom I serve can tell you everything. Hallelujah. You know what that tells me? For these last 20-plus years almost, 13 years, Joseph has been serving God in Potiphar's house. He's been serving God in the jail. He served God when his brothers betrayed him. He served God when the women tried to get him in sin. He served God whenever he got lied about and cheated. And when he got forsaken, and whenever people didn't respect him and didn't care and didn't come back and do what he said, Joseph stayed with God. Devil, you're not getting my dream. And Pharaoh promotes him, and Joseph all of a sudden is standing there. But then, he had 7 years of good, and then he had 7 years of lean. And into the second year of the second seven, that's 9 years later. So now Joseph is around 39 years old. And who shows up at his door but his brothers? And they walk in, and Joseph is the second in command. He's been elevated to this position of great power and authority. And his brothers come before him and bow down. And the Bible says, and Joseph recognized his brothers, but they didn't recognize him. Why? Because the dream is coming to pass. And Joseph all of a sudden remembered the dream, and he saw them bowing, and all of a sudden, here he is. He started at 17, and now he's 39 years old, and he sees the dream coming to full fruition. Why? He wouldn't let the thief kill his dream. There are other dreamers in the Bible. Caleb is a great dreamer. Caleb and Joshua went with the spies and came back with a good report while the others had the bad. And Caleb had a dream. What was that dream? I want that mountain. And he spent 40 years because of other people hindering him, the devil trying to kill his dream. And so finally it's time to go. And Joshua goes to him and says, Caleb, there are giants in that mountain, and you're not a young man anymore. It took him 40 years. You know what Caleb's response was? I'm as much a man now as I was then. Those giants ain't nothing I can hack and take the mountain. Hallelujah. In other words, the dream that God gave me is big enough to get me that mountain. Hallelujah. Now, what am I telling you? I don't care how much junk you've gone through, how many times you've been betrayed. I don't care if it looks like it's too late, you're too old, it ain't never going to happen. I want to tell you what you need to do. You need to go back in, dig up that dream, hallelujah, and rebirth it in your life and say, God, I believe you, that you're going to bring to pass in my life that which you said you would do. The key to it is make sure it's God's dream. Amen? Because you see, God's not responsible for your dream, but he is responsible for his dreams. The devil doesn't want you to live God's dream, but God wants you to live it. Don't let him kill your dream. Amen? Choose to trust God. And finally, the third thing is this. He said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He comes to steal your identity and get you to seeing yourself defeated. He comes to kill your dreams so that you will never accomplish anything. And finally, he wants to come and destroy your life. Anybody know that? Do you understand that drugs are not to make you high, they're to destroy you? Huh? Do you know that covetousness is not to make you rich, it's to put you in a position of defeat? Misery. Come on. Satan is out to destroy your life. He's out to steal your identity. He's out to destroy your life. He's out to kill your dreams, keep you defeated. Why? Satan doesn't care for you going to heaven. What he does care about is you being successful for God on earth. You know, listen, if you die today and go to heaven, you're out of the devil's hair. I mean, he don't care. At least you're gone. Amen. But you know what happens today if you get serious for Jesus? and you get full of the Holy Ghost, and you begin to press in, and God begins to put something on your heart to do for Him. And it may be, folks, listen, when God tells you to do things, I'm not talking about just doing things in a church service. I'm talking about doing things with your life. I'm talking about doing things out here in the world to show the world that God can bless His people and give you a dream to succeed and be victorious and to accomplish things with your life and your family. You see, this is where we're at, and this is what we should be doing, and finding God's place, God's dream, God's vision, God's purpose, and then pressing in. See, the devil doesn't want you living that kind of life. Why? Because you're out here and you're succeeding and you're being blessed. People are going to come to you and say, what's your secret? Brack Brown told me one time, I'll tell him Brack. You know, they moved to Tulsa now, but Brack was, he said, you know, he was the youngest of all the pharmacists, and all these older pharmacies, they're not doing so well, but his independent ones are doing good. And they came to him and said, what is your secret? And he said, my God, these guys have been in a lot longer than me, and they're coming to me, a young guy, and saying, what's your secret? And he said, well, he said, I'll be real honest with you. He said, there's a place called New Life Church on Cedar Crest Drive down in Huntington, and I learned how to put this thing together down there, and I've just been applying the word in my life and letting God bring my dream to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. He became a witness in his realm because he was applying the principles and letting Jesus show him what to do. And folks, if he'd do it for him, he'll do it for you. Amen. You cannot let the devil steal your identity. You have to know who you are in Christ. Number two, you can't let him kill your dream. I don't care if it hasn't came to pass yet. God spoke things to me 40 years ago that I believe is going to start happening real soon. A lot of us came, but there's more to come. And I'm going to press in and get it. Hallelujah. Amen. And I refuse to let the devil destroy my life. I'm going to make my life count. Are you listening to me? My life counts for something. I'm going to be a witness for Jesus. I may not be perfect. You may not even like me. But you know what? I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to live my life for Jesus Christ. I'm going to serve God every day of my life. I'm going to be a light shining in the darkness. I'm going to be a pain in the devil's side. Hallelujah. Amen? Huh? See, he likes being a thorn in your side. He hates it when you're a thorn in his side. Amen? But I'm going to let people see that God can change a life. I live my life every day to show people that, hey, listen, God can take a kid who came out of a broken home, who had lived with his grandparents for about 4 years, who lived in a shack, no running water, no indoor plumbing or toiletry until he was 13 years old, and then fought his way through junior high and high school, and finally went to a junior college, earned a scholarship, then went to Bible school, and started off pastoring a church of 13 people, and God began to turn his life around. When I started pastoring, folks, I want to tell you, I'm talking about me. And I'm telling you, when I started off, I couldn't afford anything. I had one jacket and one pair of pants that I wore on Sundays and Wednesdays. But I had a dream. And the devil came and he used people to try to betray me. He used people to try to discourage me. He tried to do every which way he could do to stop me. He's tried to tell me I couldn't. One time I was driving through, and I was young when this happened. And I'm driving along, and I was in my first little church there, and I'm just feeling like I'm worthless. I'm not doing anything. I'm pastoring my little 20. I got them up to 20. I'm growing. Hallelujah. And so therefore, you know, we're doing things. And I thought, you know, Lord, you know, there's Brother Hagin. He's preaching all these multitudes. And there's Brother Copeland. And the Lord spoke to me and said, how long has Brother Hagin been in the ministry? I said, well, over 30-some years. And the Lord said, well, in 30 years, you come talk to me and see if you're doing anything then. Then he said this, and besides that, he said, you're doing exactly what I ask you to do in the time I ask you to do it. That's as important to me as what he's doing, because he's doing what I ask him to do. And all of a sudden, I found out that like Joseph, whether I'm at Potiphar's house or I'm in the prison or I'm standing beside Pharaoh, I'm doing what God called me to do. And life doesn't just happen, folks. But you can't let the devil destroy your life. You can't give him your life. You can't let him get in and discourage you and defeat you and break you down. Amen? Amen. You have to just keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's close this in Romans chapter 8. Look over here. Romans, the 8th chapter. The apostle is writing to the church at Rome. And here's what you need to get a hold of if you're going to keep the devil from bringing destruction to you. Notice what he says. We'll pick it up in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? See, you're going to have to learn how to talk to things. He's talking about troubles and struggles and attacks and the devil lying to you and people doing you wrong. What are you going to say to these things? What are you going to say when struggles come? What are you going to say when attacks come? What are you going to say when the enemy's trying to destroy you? Well, he's going to tell you right here. You have to learn how to talk. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This is what you're supposed to be saying. God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Then notice what he says. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. In other words, turn to your problem and say, wait a minute. You didn't set me free. You're not my Lord and you're not the one that's my good shepherd. Jesus is and he's praying for me right now. Hallelujah. Then he goes on and says this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Notice that. You know, if those things weren't going to attack you, he wouldn't have had to list them, would he? Anybody ever had any of that come against you? I can identify with these verses. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. See, you start trusting God, and it looks like you ain't going to come out of this thing. I guarantee you, Joseph thought, man, I ain't never coming out of this. I'm down in this pit, and they're talking about killing me. He was probably happy they sold him. At least it's a step up from being killed. Amen. Rough times. We look like we're a sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, yet when these things are coming to destroy me, when these things are coming to stop me, when these things are trying to get me to quit on God, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm not a defeated person. I'm not going to be destroyed. I'm not going under. I'm not giving up on my dream. I'm not turning back. I'm a child of the living God. Jesus is my Lord. And if God be for me, I'm going over. Hallelujah. Devil, throw your best shot. You can't destroy me. You can't stop me. You may hinder me, but you can't keep me from getting where God said I can get. Hallelujah. I will have what God said I can have, and I will do and be what God said I can do and be. Notice that? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything present, nor anything to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, the only thing that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord is you. So choose not to ever be separated from your Lord. Choose to cling to him and hang on to him. I said that's the last verse, but you know, preachers get two closings. Hallelujah. Let me read Romans 11:29 to you in the Amplified. It's so good. When the devil says it ain't working, when the enemy comes after you and tries to stop you, listen to what he says. For God's gifts. Notice that. His good things. And his call or his dream are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. How am I going to close this? Through all that you've gone through, Andre Crouch, who helped me get started in contemporary music, he was like a deliverer from quartets in the day. He came out with a song, through it all. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. And here's what I'm saying to you today. God hadn't changed his mind about you. Don't you change your mind about him. God hadn't quit on you. Don't you quit on him. God's never going to give up on you. Don't you ever give up on him. Don't you ever let the devil steal your identity and you begin to think you're not worthy or you're something that you're not. You are a new creation created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You're God's workmanship. You're a child of God. Don't you ever let the devil come in and kill your dream. Stir it up. That's why Paul had to write to Timothy, stir up the gift within you. Stir up the calling. Stir up the anointing. Remind yourself of what God has spoken to your heart. It may have been when you were young, and it may have been put off, but I want to tell you what, you're never too old to get that dream back out and begin to pursue it. And don't you let the devil destroy your life. You talk to things when they come to try to destroy you. And you tell them, God before me, who can be against me? And I'm not changing my mind on God. I'm not quitting on Him because He didn't change His mind on me and He didn't quit on me. Amen? Job said this. He said, at famine and destruction, I will laugh. I will laugh. Here's a guy who had a dream. The enemy attacked him physically, attacked his family, attacked his finances, attacked him socially, attacked everything that was within him, and had him down to the point that he was sitting there being criticized by his best friends. But he refused to give up on his dream. And God showed up and restored everything the devil had stolen from him, folks.